This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم استعينوا على قضاء حوائجكم بالكتمان فإنك الذي نعمة محسود أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, if a survey has to be conducted on an average man beyond religious grounds across the globe, if a survey has to be conducted on an average man beyond religious grounds across the globe to ascertain the fears that haunt him the most, by and large you will find two things that will feature commonly and extensively. That is the fear of poverty and the fear of sickness. The fear of poverty and the fear of sickness. If we look into the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a reflection of the fears of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find very ironically, while poverty remains our greatest fear, wallahi his greatest fear was wealth. While poverty remains the primary fear of a man today, Nabi alayhi salam says, my heart has many fears with regards to my ummah. But if I may isolate and single out the greatest fear that I have, the riwayat of Ibn Abi Dunya, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي, the greatest fear that haunts the heart of your Nabi, أَنْ يَكْثُرَ فِيهِمُ الْمَالِ, that there must be abundance of wealth, and there must be absolute affluence for every person. That is my greatest fear. Then the Nabi of Allah outlines why this is his greatest fear. Why, O Nabi of Allah, فَيَتَحَاسَدُونَ, when wealth will become common like this, then jealousy will be part of it. Then jealousy will be part of it. And when jealousy follows with affluence, فَيَقْتَتِلُونَ, then rest assured they will quarrel, fight, argue, and they kill one another also. Hence, as a precautionary measure, the Nabi of Allah has said in the hadith that I've quoted before you, إِسْتَعِينُوا عَلَىٰ قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِكُمْ بِالْكِتْمَانِ, do your matters secretly. فَإِنَّ كُلَّذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ, every favored man is targeted with the jealous eye. Every favored man is targeted with the jealous eye. And Nabi alayhi salam has also said, إِيَّاكَ وَالْحَسَدِ, save yourself from jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبِ, that jealousy will destroy your good deeds, just as fire will destroy wood. Just as fire will burn wood, in the very same way, jealousy will destroy your good deeds. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the riwayat of Bazzar, دَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَكُمْ, the sins and the vices of the previous nations have crept into my ummah. When I say this, I refer to two sins primarily. Al-Baghda'u wal-Hasadu. Number one, malice, and number two, jealousy. Then Nabi alayhi salam says, if I may liken malice to something physical, وَالْبَغْضَاءُ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةُ, وَالْبَغْضَاءُ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةُ, لَيْسَ حَالِقَةُ الشَّعْرِ وَلَكِنْ حَالِقَةُ الدِّينِ, and malice is like a razor. But then Nabi alayhi salam says, don't get me wrong, it won't shave your hair, actually it will shave your iman away. It won't shave your hair, it will shave your iman away. And it is malice after which comes jealousy. It is malice after which comes jealousy. Wallah, as long as there is malice and jealousy in our hearts, even brothers are not brothers. And believe me, when malice and jealousy comes out, even strangers become brothers. Hence the Quran says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِم مِّن غِلِّنِ, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِم مِّن غِلِّنِ, إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, Allah make us amongst the fortunate people that will be privileged with Jannah. Prior to entering into Jannah, there will be two springs. People will drink from one spring and then it will cleanse all the spiritual maladies. It will free them of jealousy, of pride, of arrogance, of animosity, of rivalry. So a person would literally see his brother higher than him in Jannah, but not have a jealousy against him. Allah says, when we will remove this, ikhwanan, then they will become true brothers. Then they will become true brothers. Ala sururim mutaqabilin. Sufyan, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu told his son, ya bunayya iyaka wal hasad, fa'innahu yatabayyana fika qabla an yatabayyana fi aduwik. Oh my son, save yourself from jealousy because it will become apparent in you first before it becomes apparent in your rival. It will become apparent in you first before it becomes apparent in your rival. And Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahumullah has written, laysa shay'un min ash-sharr adharru min al-hasad, li'annahu yasilu ila al-hasid arba'a 'uqubatin qabla an yasila ila al-mahsud makruhun. Amongst all spiritual illnesses, the worst of which is jealousy. For the simple reason that it will bring about four difficulties and tragedies upon the jealous person prior to harming his rival in any way. So the person, that is why someone said, I have not seen any oppressor who resembles an oppressed person like a jealous man. Because while he is a victim, or while he is a victor to jealousy, he is also a victim. He suffers more than the rival. And I will explain it now. What is the explanation? He says, غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَطِعُ. The first thing that grips a jealous man is unending depression. So he is suffering more before the rival can suffer. He is suffering. What is his suffering? Constantly trying to curtail the progress of others. To suppress the popularity of others. To suppress the honor of others. And it needles him, it hurts him, it bothers him. So every time he's trying to institute measures to suppress others. But nay, it's not within his reach. It's not within his reach. So he suffers depression. He suffers more than that person, more than his rival suffers. Let's use an example in the commercial world. I mean, this is happening. Rivalry and jealousy in the commercial world is very common. In fact, I must mention, may Allah save me when one and all. Otherwise, it is written in Kitab that jealousy is most commonly found among scholars and learned people. It affects the learned before it affects the layman. That is why Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, shahadatul qurra maqboola fi kulli shay illa shahadatu ba'dihim ala ba'd. That I will accept the evidence of a scholar openly, provided it is not regarding another scholar. If one learned person gives evidence regarding another one, I'm afraid it will be contaminated with jealousy. So what does he say? غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَطِي, unending depression. A person is a king in his business. Let's use the example of textile. Allah has given him so much. He's in export, import. He's an absolute authority in his field. And here another person opens up a small shop and he feels intimidated. He feels threatened. He feels threatened by this person here. On a small scale here, where his income is minimal, his scope is minimal. You know, the Quran speaks very beautiful about those two disputants who presented in the court of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَسَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. Dawood alayhi salam had divided his days. One day was exclusive for ibadat, one day with his family, and one day he would resolve the disputes of people. The day when he would devote to ibadat, no person could come close to him. There was a tight presence of security around him, and that day would be exclusive to the worship of Allah. One day he was engaged in the ibadat of Allah, when suddenly two people came barging. إِذْ تَسَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابِ. They scaled the wall. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. When they entered like this, Dawood alayhi salam became very nervous. And he became suspicious that perhaps these people have some hidden agenda and some sinister motive behind them coming, because this is not a day that they should be here. So they comforted him and they said, لَا تَخَافْ, don't fear. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ. We just have a matter that we need you urgently to resolve. We are disputing in our partnership here. We are partners. And the one of them came forward and he said, خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. My partner has done injustice to me in our business and our trade. What is it? In essence, it entails, I quote the words of the Quran, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةٌ وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Here stands my brother. He has 99 sheep. Naja actually refers to a female species meaning ewes. He has 99 ewes. Wali na'jatun wahida, and I have one ewe. So he has 99, I only have one. But he's so jealous that he doesn't allow me to have this one. He's trying to get this one from me and make his 100. Now, we might frown upon this. We might find it strange. But let's look into our lives. Are we not victims of the very same thing? That another man starts off on a small scale. Instead of encouraging him, promoting him, helping him, we try to suppress him. So what does he say? فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. He's trying to get this one, somehow manipulate and prove that this one also belongs to him. And then the dilemma I face is, he's more eloquent than me in speech. So if he argues, he'll convince you that this one belongs to him also. So he's more profound in his articulation, he's more wealthy in his possession. I have one little one and he's not happy to see me owning one sheep also. So the first depression that will grip a jealous man is how he will try his level best to suppress the prosperity of others. Number two, musibatun la yu'jar alayha. He's forever in pain and difficulty for which there's no reward. Number three, yaskhatu alayhi rabbu. Allah is permanently displeased with him. And the worst of all is tughlaqu alayhi abwabu tawfiq. Allah then divinely deprived this man of the ability of obeying Allah. He's divinely now deprived. He's divinely deprived. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with the sahaba, and suddenly he just lifted his gaze, and then he paused, and he said, listen, يَطَّلِعُ عَلَيْكُمْ الْآنْ مِنْ هَذَا الْفَجِّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Can you see from that direction, the next person that will walk in this gathering from there, I promise he is a dweller of Jannah. Sahaba says, we raised our eyeballs in anticipation, in anxiety. Who is this person? I mean, what a presence, what a honor, what a privilege. And suddenly, فَطَلَعَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ. One Ansari man came. يَنْفُذُ لِحْيَتَهُ مِنْ وُذُوئِهِ. Water dripping from his beard. قَدْ عَلَّقَ يَدَيْهِ قَدْ عَلَّقَ نَعْلَيْهِ فِي يَدِهِ الشِّمَالِ. Holding his shoes in his left hand. Very simple in his appearance. He came and he sat down, knowing not what the Nabi of Allah said regarding him. فَسَلَّمَ. He greeted and he sat down. Everybody looking at him, envying him, admiring him. The gathering terminated, this person left. The next day again we sit in, فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدْ. The Nabi of Allah makes the very same statement, and no coincidence, the very young Sahabi comes again. It happened for 3 days. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, my aspiration, my anxiety, I could not contain it. I excused myself, I tapped the gentleman. I said, you know what, I'm looking for shelter. You think you can give me 3 nights to stay at your place? And the only reason was, I wanted to ascertain what was outstanding in the life of this man. What was so unique about him that the Nabi of Allah said. So I asked him, فَإِن رَأَيْتَ أَن تُؤْوِينِ. If you give me shelter, I would like to spend 3 days. He said, come home. Anyway, I got to his house, assuming that perhaps the night will be in tahajjud, the day will be in fasting, the day will be in salah. But to my utter surprise, فَلَمْ يَرَهُ يَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ شَيْئًا. He slept throughout the night. I was somehow disappointed. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ. I will acknowledge, إِذَا انْقَلَبَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. I found whenever he would toss or turn at night, he would take Allah's name. And this is something we should learn also. In other words, tossing, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, ya Allah. While tossing, I admired him. But I thought this is not that action that could privilege him for Jannah. After 3 days had lapsed, فَلَمَّا مَذَتِ الثَّلَاثِ وَكِدْتُ أَنْ أَحْتَقِرَ عَمَلَهُ. And I was on the verge of trivializing his piety. And I said, ya Allah, where have I come? I tapped him and I said, listen, my brother, let me divulge why I have come here. You know, the 3 days you attended the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam, in 3 days in succession, he assured your entry into Jannah. You want to be kind to disclose what is that secret by virtue of which you enjoy this privilege. He said, ma huwa illa ma ra'aita. You seen how I love, I have nothing more than this, I have nothing to hide. Falamma wallaytu. I was about to leave da'ani. He said, come here. You serious, you want to know? I said, please tell me, this is the formula to Jannah. He says, okay, listen to me. غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ حَسَدًا وَلَا غِشًّا عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ إِيَّا. I swear by Allah, I don't have much actions as per se. However, Allah be my witness, never has my heart harbored jealousy or malice against any Muslim in relation to the affluence and the privileges Allah has afforded him. Amr ibn As said, هِيَ الَّتِي بَلَغَتْ بِكْ وَهِيَ الَّتِي لَا نُتِيقْ. This is the very thing that made you escalate the stages, and this is the very thing I know I am devoid of. I am devoid of. Nabi alayhi salam held the hand of Anas, and he said, Ya Anas, in istata'ta an tumsi wa tusbih, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin min al-muslimin, fa'fal. Oh Anas, if you can do me a favor, let me use a medical phrase. If you can monitor your heart, monitor not your sugar, not your cholesterol. If you can monitor your heart in the morning and the evening, this is the word of the hadith. Do me a favor, monitor your heart. In istata'ta an tumsi wa tusbih, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin min al-muslimin. If you can monitor your heart in the morning and the evening, and you are comforted that it does not harbor jealousy against any person, then rest assured, Anas, you have revived one of my greatest teachings. And you have done that, you love me. You love me, you with me in Jannat. You love me, you with me in Jannah. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam told his sahaba, listen my sahaba, do me a favor. Don't carry the tales of other people to me. Hatta akhruj feekum wa ana salim as-sadr. So when I make my presence before you, my heart doesn't think otherwise regarding you. But if you come and tell me this about that person, then it's a natural reaction. The next time I face the man, somehow I'm going to be skeptical in my approach, in my method. So do me a favor, don't convey the tales of others to me. Aun ibn Abdullah one day went to visit Fadl ibn Muhallab. So Fadl ibn Muhallab asked for some advice. He said, let me share three advices with you quickly. Number one, إِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرِ فَإِنَّهُ أَوَّلُ ذَنْبٍ عُصِيَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Save yourself from pride. It is the first sin through which Allah was disobeyed. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. That the devil refused out of pride. Number two, إِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرِ. إِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرِ فَإِنَّهُ أَخْرَجَ آدَمَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. And save yourself from greed. Because it was as a result of greed that Allah Ta'ala took Adam out of Jannah. Adam and Hawa alayhi salatu was salam were taken out of Jannah. And while I'm speaking about this, let me just digress for a minute and share. We're hearing about the new legislation to encompass the gay marriages and to encompass this and that. Someone told me a very nice thing. He said, look at the pattern of God. When God created, He created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. When God created, He created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. We find what is featuring in the media nonetheless. What He says, save yourself from greed. It took Adam out of Jannah. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْحَسَدْ فَإِنَّمَا قَتَلَ إِبْنُ آدَمَ أَخَاهُ حِينَ حَسَدَهُ. That Adam's son killed his fellow brother when jealousy came into him. When jealousy came into him. Ulama ikram have written different stages of jealousy. The worst of which is أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى زَوَالَ النِّعْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَنْتَقِلُ إِلَيْكَ وَهَذَا غَايَةُ الْخُبْثِ. Where you passionately desire that the next person be deprived of what Allah has given him, even if I do not have it, but this man must not have it, and this is the worst of all stages. That the next person must be deprived, he mustn't enjoy the privileges, the honors that Allah has given him. That honor must come to me, that respect must come to me. Number two, the second one, أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى زَوَالَ النِّعْمَةِ لِرَغْبَتِهِ فِي. You desire that the next person must be deprived so that I can have it. So he must divorce his wife so I can enjoy that woman. Or he must go into insolvency so I can get into the market. I can seize the opportunity. And with this regard, we speak about the incident of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. It is such an evil sickness that even the direct descendants of a Nabi were not protected. Imagine the direct offspring of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, the children of a Nabi, the brothers of a Nabi. What was their jealousy? What were they unhappy with? إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Our father has focused his love on Yusuf and his brother Binyamin. Whereas we are talented people, these small brothers are more a liability than an asset to our father. But strange, our father focuses his love on them. We need to get rid of this Yusuf. وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Now this is how the mind of a jealous person works. He will not for a moment think that this man enjoys what he enjoys because Allah has favored him. So let me inculcate those good qualities so Allah can privilege me also. No, no. His mind thinks in the opposite direction. Let me strike him. Let me deprive him. Let me see how I can curtail his progress so that I can secure it for myself. So what they decide, they come to the father. Cutting a long story short, the Quran paints the picture in detail. Ya abana ma laka la ta'amanna ala Yusuf. Ya abana ma laka la ta'amanna ala Yusuf. Oh our father, what is the matter that you don't trust us in the matter of Yusuf? Wa inna lahu lanasihun. We are his well wishers. Why don't you release him and send him with us? We will go and play. After all, he's our brother. Arsilhu ma'ana ghada. Send him with us tomorrow. Yarta, he will eat relishly. Rata'a yarta'u rat'an. Wa yal'ab, and he will play. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun. And we will take divine care of our brother. So Yaqub alayhi salam was very skeptical. Number one, he was young. His mother was late. And Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam had realized in relation to the vision of this child that there was a bright future. So he told him, listen my son, I'm a prophet and I know how prophets are nurtured by Allah. There is a bright future, don't relate your vision to your brothers. But a child, Allah knows best, he goes and divulges that secret to his brothers. In the end, Yaqub alayhi salam releases Yusuf. First he expresses his grief, his concern, but then he says, okay, you can take him. So the brothers very happily that they have convinced the father, they take Yusuf. They take Yusuf, that today he is with us. It comes in the riwayat, in front of the father they carry him, showing a spirit of unity. No sooner they were out of the sight of the father, jealousy. The children of a Nabi, the brothers of a Nabi, they drop this little child whose mother was late, and they start kicking him. They start kicking him. So he pleads for his life. Oh my brothers, you are my blood. This is not what I expected from you. So what they do, they snub him. After all, you've seen stars and moon. What happened to your stars and your moons? You had great, great visions. They kick him. Then they start disputing amongst themselves. What should we do? Let's put an end to him. So they say, Uqtulu Yusuf. Uqtulu Yusuf. Come, let's just kill him here. And that's the end of Yusuf. Then we know our father loves us. And then like the devil always comes and he consoles you. وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. That after all, you can repent, do this, and in tawbah, if you won't sin, who will Allah forgive? So you can always repent. So why are they busy disputing, should we kill him or not, all as a result of jealousy? One of the brothers, the eldest brother, whose name was Yahuda, he said, no, don't be so merciless. Let's do this, yeah? Let's drop him in a well. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. Let's drop him in a well. Perhaps some caravan will come pick him and forsake him and abandon him. At least we haven't killed him. Anyway, they decide, they drop him in the well. Then what they do, they play on the fear of the father. They drop him alone. His mother is late. His father is aged. He's a young person, but as a result of jealousy. They kill a wolf. They take the shirt of Yusuf, stain it in the false blood of this wolf, and they come back to their father pretending. They come back to their father. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. They come back with false blood stained on the shirt of Yusuf. And they say, oh, our father, indeed your fear is a reality. The wolf had devoured Yusuf. But after all, a Nabi was a Nabi. He looked at that shirt and he said, what an intelligent wolf. What an intelligent wolf. It didn't even tear the shirt of my son. It only stained it with blood. I'm convinced this is your ploy. I leave the matter to Allah. Brothers, to cut a long story short, on a subtle note, on a disguised note, and this is what my ustad one day told me. Remember, on a subtle note, Allah will give you the greatest prosperity at the very hands of those that harbor jealousy against you. So while they are planning your destruction on a disguised note, they are paving your prosperity. If you objectively analyze who benefited Yusuf the most were the very ones who dropped him in the well. From there he was taken by a caravan, brought into Egypt, auctioned, brought into the palace, ultimately into the kingdom, and he became the king. Till finally Allah brought that day in the life of those very brothers. They came to their father and they said, Ya Abana astaghfir lana dhunubana, O our father. Really we thought we could suppress Yusuf, but what heights Allah took him to. Today we come and confess our wrong and ask Allah to forgive us. So this is the harms of jealousy. I share with you another incident. Allah speaks about Qarun in the Quran. If you don't know who Qarun was, he was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. His father and Musa alayhi salam's father were brothers. That's not all. Number two, كان حافظا بالتوراة. He had memorized the entire Torah. Number three, when Musa alayhi salam took 70 people to Mount Tur to be privileged with communicating with Allah, Qarun was amongst those 70 people. Understand the privileges given to him. And in the previous times, to memorize the divine scripture was an exclusive feature to the prophets. Not like in this ummah where, alhamdulillah, young children can memorize the Quran. Anajiluhum fi sudurihim. But jealousy gripped his heart that why is my cousin Musa a prophet and my cousin Harun is a prophet and I'm not a prophet. So he always used to moan and groan and he used to question Allah's decision in this year. Aya hasidan li ala ni'mati. أتدري على من أسأت الأدب أسأت على الله في رزقه لأنك لم ترضى لي ما وهب. Oh jealous person over what Allah has given me. Do you know to whom you have shown disregard? Not to me, my brother. But you've actually frowned on the decision of Allah. You are unhappy with what my Allah has decided for me or for him. أيا حاسدا لي على نعمتي أتدري على من أسأت الأدب. So anyway, he was always trying to curtail the progress of Musa and what honor Allah had given Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One day he came to an immoral woman. And this is what happens to a jealous person. He came to an immoral woman on the riwayat of Ibn Abbas and he says, do me a favor. The next time when Musa stands up and he addresses the congregation, in full public view, you stand up and you accuse him. And you tell him, hey Moses, stop giving lectures, man, you slept with me. Now this all is a result of jealousy that suppressed the man, caused it for him. How many times don't we hear a person proposes, the proposal is accepted, and then they get some messages, no, don't get your daughter married here. You're mad, that's an evil man, don't get involved here, he's a rotten person. You deserve someone better than that. Just to come and jeopardize the marriage of someone else. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stood up. This woman stood up and he said, oh people, Musa is giving big lectures, but he has slept with me. Now when you're playing with Allah, when you're playing with a Nabi, the force of Allah is behind that Nabi. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam terminated his lecture. He got to the side, performed two rakat salah, stayed in sajda. Then he stood up and then he said, وَسَمِعَ النَّاسُ سَوْتًا فِيهِ جَلَالُ النُّبُوَّةِ. People heard a loud scream and the awe of prophethood was transmitted. He said, fear Allah and speak, O woman. Have I ever come close to you or cast a nasty glance on you that you accuse me? She said, forgive me, Musa. Qarun provoked me because of his jealousy. Musa fell on sajda. He said, Allah, if I'm your Nabi, then show me how you take revenge. Allah said, Musa, the land is at your command. He said, Allah, if it's at my command, then swallow Qarun. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. The earth split and he started sinking into the earth. Nabi alayhi salam says he will continue sinking till the day of Qiyamah. A man who had memorized the Torah, who was the cousin of Musa, who was the cousin of Harun, who spoke to Allah but as a result of jealousy died as a kafir and everybody witnessed what had happened to him. So this is the outcome of jealousy. This is the outcome of jealousy. I can share with you so many more incidents. The jealous people, was it not as a result of jealousy that they even made black magic on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? And what pain did it cause to Nabi alayhi salam? At times he started forgetting, he became uneasy. And then subsequently, Allah then revealed the verses of Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, in which Allah expressed the cure of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. To strengthen the effect of the black magic they blew into those knots. And then when these verses were revealed, Nabi alayhi salam read them, and Nabi alayhi salam told them to open it, and as it was opened, Nabi alayhi salam felt a sense of looseness, as if he was coming out of shackles. And subhanallah, like the poet says, إِصْبِرْ عَلَى حَسَدِ الْحَسُودِ فَإِنَّ صَبْرَكَ قَاتِلَهُ. إِصْبِرْ عَلَى حَسَدِ الْحَسُودِ فَإِنَّ صَبْرَكَ قَاتِلَهُ. Listen, be patient on the jealousy of a jealous man. I promise you, your patience will kill him. Be patient on the jealousy of a jealous. Nothing else will finish him up. فَإِنَّ صَبْرَكَ قَاتِلَهُ. If there's anything that will put an end to him, is your patience, your perseverance. When Allah cured Nabi alayhi salam, this person's name was Labid and his daughters who collectively made black magic on Nabi alayhi salam. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Nabi of Allah, why don't you expose them? Why don't you expose them, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, why should I expose them when my Allah has cured me? Why should I expose them? What have I got to do with them? My Allah has cured me. So brothers, this is my message. Patience on whatever. Let us see that the Quran says, لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. If you come with a clean heart, then Allah is ready to accept you. May Allah ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah clean our hearts. Just as my opening comments were, that the greatest fear of every person is poverty and sickness. Imam Ismail rahimahumullah says, رأيت أعرابيا. I seen one villager. قد بلغت قد بلغ من عمره 120 سنة. And he was 120 years old. I admired the man's health. I said, Subhanallah, tell me, uncle, what is the formula of your good health? He said, تركت الحسد فبقيت. My heart does not harbor jealousy against any individual because of that I enjoy divine health. I don't know what is sickness, I don't know what is calamity. If there are physical causes to sicknesses, let me tell you there are spiritual implications also. If one of the causes of our sicknesses are in relation to our diet and what we eat, let us not forget these evil qualities also. It affects our life. And today there is even physical evidence. They say a person who enjoys a healthy matrimonial relation after a surgery, statistics prove that his recovery will be faster than a person who is going through crisis in his marriage life. كل العداوة قد ترجى إلى إزالتها إلا عداوة من عداك من حسد. There is a hope to put an end to every form of hatred and malice, with the exception of that malice, the result of which is jealousy. May Allah Ta'ala save us from jealousy, clean our hearts, that we die in a manner that our hearts are totally clean, that we can enjoy the neighborhood of Nabi alayhi salam. وآخر الدعوان عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.